The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Nick, what are you on? You on like fentanyl and meth this morning? I mean, he's just bouncing around the studio, folks. This guy's like he's, I don't know, 52, not 92 like he normally is.
Actually, last week I poured a couple cups of coffee and I let it evaporate and I snorted it this morning about a half hour ago.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy 2025. Let's see what this year's going to bring. I'm pretty sure it's going to not be what everybody thinks it's going to be. But first off, Nick, we got to do this because we've been told by management. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest with Nick Gardner and Doug Jenke. And our radio is KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and KCNR 1460.com. Now, Nick, I'll shut up. It's your mic. Go.
For you, those of you that don't remember the Wolf Man, he was so loud and so off the charts that the FCC wouldn't let him broadcast in the United States. So they set up a tower just across the border, and he broadcasted just across the border from Chula Vista, California. You remember that?
I don't. I wasn't that old, Nick. I mean, you know, I was born this century. You were born in the previous one.
That's okay. I knew.
Well, actually, I take that back.
I knew Barney. I had a crush on Pebbles.
I've been in this 27 years. I feel like I sold Fred and Barney their first houses. Let me tell you.
Listen, I've got a clip. We're going to go to the first clip right now. This exactly describes the Biden administration. Are you ready with that, Dave? We got it popping, man.
Will enrage you. Check this out.
2 years ago, my unit deployed to Afghanistan for the Afghanistan withdrawal. We spent a few weeks over there. It was hectic. It was chaotic. It was disgusting. And it made me very disappointed in our government. Today, I'm reminded of how disappointed I am in our government. Go to turn in my gear. They want to charge me $500 to $1,000 for gear that I was ordered to leave in Afghanistan 2 years ago. There wasn't any room for extra gear or extra weight. Therefore, we were told to leave it. We're like, no, this stuff is expensive. I'm not leaving this. I'm going to get charged for this when it comes time to leave. Don't worry. We're going to catch you on the back end. You know, we'll flipple it. No.
So the Biden administration is charging soldiers for the gear that they ordered them to leave in Afghanistan. Man, these people are monsters.
They could have shipped it straight to the Ukraine and saved a bunch of money.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, they were going to start off 2025 on fire. I mean, that goes along with the news that came out, I believe it was yesterday, maybe the day before, about the absolute corrupt piece of human garbage that is our president and the people who support him. And I do mean that. We gave a Freedom Award to George Soros, probably the most evil man walking the planet, and Hillary Clinton, who has 43 close associates that have met their demise quite early, and they get the Medal of Freedom.
And he's discriminating against California because he didn't give Nancy Pelosi a medal.
Well, I think Nancy should have got one. I mean, if you're going to give one to Soros, why not give one to Nancy? They're both up there in the evil category. So I just, this poor guy, this
Eric Storwell, you know,
yeah,
running around with Fang.
Yeah. Wow, this is the start of our show, Nick, and you decide to piss me off this early. That's great. Good job.
Thank you.
You're on it, man. Hey, before we go any further, hey, Don, in Roseburg. Thanks for listening. Continue on there, Nick.
Let's talk about the supervisors' meetings. We have a big meeting coming up Tuesday. I think it's the 7th. They are going to pick the new chair, and that promises to be interesting. I would expect the full house, because I've been pumping the thought that Kevin Cry ought to get another term as chair.
Yeah.
I think that would be very advantageous to our county, getting it straightened out where it needs to be.
Well, and you know, they spent the first 6 months or 7 months of that man's term trying to recall him, and he won, and so he was more concerned about trying to stay in and be reelected. He didn't, you know, he probably did a great job anyway, but I think give him a year of just, let him do what he's doing. I mean, my gosh, the stuff that's happening is amazing. It's great.
Well, let me tell you about the last meeting. The 19th, it was an evening meeting. I had never seen the audience so divided. If you were sitting on a podium looking at the crowd, on the right-hand side was all the failed recall people and the far-left progressives. On the left-hand side was all us conservative ultra-mega people.
Yeah.
And a dividing line right down the middle. They had a presentation for the Sikhs.
Oh, okay, yeah,
The Sikh are good community members. They do a lot for our community.
Yep.
And they had a presentation, a thank you type of award, and I got up and spoke about it. Now, a lot of you might not know the difference between Sikhs and Muslims and people that wear headdresses, turbans, and this and that. So I explained that I went to a meeting at the Patriots, and a preacher by the name of David Bryan spoke. He's known throughout the Muslim world, and in fact, I think there's a bounty on his head.
That's possible.
And
because they're a very peaceful religion.
That's right. So I went up and asked him afterwards, because I didn't know the difference of them. Really, they all wear some kind of headdress.
Yeah.
So I said, where do the Sikhs stand if there comes to be a battle between the Christians and the Muslims, or any other religion and the Muslims? And he said, the Sikhs are our ally. They are the ones that created Pakistan. India kicked the Muslims out of Pakistan, or out of India, and that's what created Pakistan.
Oh.
And then I shared with him a clip that I saw on X just the day before,
yeah,
and it was in India.
Oh.
And the Muslims were in the street. They had their
clip, yep.
Their prayer rug down and their head down and their butt up in the air. And along comes a policeman with about three of them behind him. He kicks this one in the ass and shoves him over with his foot and says, go pray in the mosque. This is the street. You're holding up traffic. And, oh, the other side just went ballistic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how it should be. I mean, their religion doesn't mean they get to block us getting to work. And so, yeah, I saw that video. I thought it was interesting.
Oh, I got the biggest kick of the progressives. How could that irritate them?
Well, because they're not going to work, apparently, and getting stuck in these roadblocks that these protests are doing, including these prayers that are being just set up in the middle, and they all face Mecca, and it's a great thing.
I went ahead and sent that clip to Kevin Cry and a few people on my email list to prove that I wasn't making it up.
Oh.
But it was quite hilarious.
I find that you make most stuff up, Nick. You just kind of wheel off the cuff and, you know, elbow it through, and we've come through with a show.
I've got notes. You don't have anything.
You're I still have my gray matter, buddy. I'm here. I'm walking it.
So, anyway, I guess we'll go right on in. Carl had, what's his name? Is it Mike Letoe?
Letoe. Yeah, I think Letoe. He was running for city council.
He's a new supervisor, and he's prepping us for a one-cent
tax. Is it supervisor
tax
or city council?
City council.
City council.
He's prepping us for a new tax.
Yeah.
And he's telling us, you know, how our infrastructure's gone to heck and that we're going to have a tax to fix it, that they have cut everything right to the bone, the city of Reading has. So if we could play the first clip off of that, we'll let you listen to him.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and you alluded to it today, is to show that the city has done everything it can to cut costs. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of having five people in this division, we've got three. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but we'd have these three people doing the job because they've gotten more efficient or whatever. But we've gone through the city, and we have made these cuts on our personnel, and we've cut to the bone here. Now we need your help, Reading.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to have the amount of police we want, if we want the two CERT teams, if we want to have the trail patrols, if we want to have the streets fixed, you know, Placer was such a good example of this that once the lawsuit was settled, they fix plaster in about like 2.5 weeks, maybe 3, and look at it now. If every one of our roads was like that, that'd be great.
It will be.
And
we're
going to
get it
but
done.
But it's going to take money, but you've got to, you know, again, it goes back to convincing the people is that, hey, we've cut it to the bone here, but we still need your help, Renan. Mm-hmm. If we want to be.
Okay, so there we go. Now, I want to touch on that cut it to the bone. I've got, I went to Transparent California,
mm-hmm.
and the latest information they have is 2003. In 2003, Barry DeWalt, his base salary was $343,000. He didn't get any overtime, but other income amounted to $88,500 for a total of $352,000. That was his salary.
No, that's not wrong. Your math's wrong. You got 340 plus 88. That would take him into the fours.
Okay, so what?
You must have got Common Core math. Obama would be very proud of you.
I went to Enterprise High School. They didn't teach us how to read, write, or count, but we sure learned how to party.
But you went to Kager's. That's
okay,
all that matters.
Let's get back to this.
Please.
The benefits were $66,000, and his pension debt was $64,000. So he cost the city of Reading $482,700. That was his cost to employ him.
Hmm.
Now, the year before that, it was $362,000. The year before that, it was $324,000. So we've got raises of $158,000 over a period of 3 years. They sure cut it to the bone, didn't they?
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, we keep getting told by government how tight they're tightening their belt when they're actually getting raises all the time. They're getting higher pay. And we could do, I go back and I mention on our show a lot, Javier Milei, he literally in the first day of office got rid of nine entire departments of the Argentinian government. Immediately just cut them. They're gone. No, gone. And a year later, the country is thriving. It's doing well. Their regulations have dropped. The inflation is down to like 2.4%. So when these government people tell us how much they're cutting, every time they go, oh, we need a 1% tax, and then they're going to raise the pay of the people in the executive. Our city management is extremely well paid, and we go, oh, we got to compete with those ones that are outside of the area. No, we don't. This is Redding, California, crying out loud.
I've got more. Here's Bill Shuler. Bill Shuler retired last year. He was the chief of police. Bill Shuler did a good job. He's a really nice person. I've got nothing bad to say about Bill Shuler, but in 2023, his base salary was $298,000. His other income was $10,000, so it came to $309,000. How about that for arithmetic? His benefits were $86,000, and his retirement contribution was $69,000. He cost the taxpayers $465,900. And the year before, he was making $403,000. That's a $60,000 raise. The year before that, he was making $361,000. So his raises amounted to $105,000 over 3 years.
And that's to oversee 100 people. Wouldn't the manager of Walmart like to make $400,000 a year overseeing just 100 people? And I get it. It's a tough gig. I mean, that's not a knock, but I mean, that's crazy freaking money. That's $10,000 a week.
So here's Barry Tippin. He cost us last year, 2023, $458,000. The year before was $388,900. The year before that was $333,000. His raises over 3 years amounted to $125,000.
Well, my guess is you're getting ready to retire.
That's it. And my last one is Nicholas Zettel.
Zettel?
Zettel. He is head of Reading Electric Utility. Last year, he made $451,400. That's the cost to us taxpayers. The year before that, $399,900. The year before that, $328,000. He had $128,000 worth of raises in the last 3 years.
Well, you know,
and they've cut it to the bone.
Oh yeah, well, and that's the thing is that's how it works. I mean, I had a buddy that was in the CHP, and those guys stack on overtime at the last 3 years of their career because the way that it works in CalPERS and these government pensions is they get I think it's 90% of their last or the highest 3 years that they worked, and so these government people all spike their thing right before they retire. So you know, there you go. And,
that's right.
They cut it to the bone. They've cut it to the bone.
That's police and fire. I think people like Barry Timpen and administration and regular people, I think maybe it's 2.5% per year.
Yeah.
So if after 30 years with a police officer, they get 3%. That's 90% of what they made.
Yeah.
Their highest year.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got 65 people making over $300,000 a year costing us.
They're cutting to the bone, aren't they?
And this is 23. The 24 statistics aren't out. And we've got 250 people costing us $200,000 or more.
Wow.
A year. Now, these 250 people, some of them are making right at $100,000 a year. And their benefits and overtime brings it on up. That's their base salary. What I would propose is if we're going to pass a tax, that they freeze raises for anybody making over $100,000 a year for 10 years. You look at it this way. The medium salary for our area is $45,000, $46,000.
Yep.
If they're making $100,000, they're making more than twice that much.
Yep.
Are they here for the quality of living, or are they here for the paycheck? I mean, I'm willing to sacrifice to clean up our community.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the people making less than $100,000 a year, yeah, go ahead, let's give them a raise.
Well, I think that.
But, you know, something reasonable. Maybe tie it to Social Security.
Well, you know, the absolute BS that has come into at least California, I can't speak for any other state, but is California has this prevailing wage kind of mindset that we have to offer the same rate of pay as Modesto or Stockton or whatever. And technically speaking, our cost of living here was substantially lower. I mean, based on housing now, I'm not sure it's actually lower anymore. But they have this idea that to attract talent from these big cities, to bring them in and corrupt our freaking local area, a lot of them are liberals, they bring them in, they offer these pay that they would be getting in these big cities, and it's become this mindset that we have to compete. No, we don't. We offer a quality of life that is unmatched anywhere in the North State, and I would say maybe the Americas. I mean, crying out loud, we've got the ocean 3 hours to the west, we've got the big city and crime 3 hours to the south, we've got two massive lakes, we can go skiing, water, and snow in the same day. I mean, our quality of life is freaking amazing here, and we don't need to bring these people in. They come here for the quality of life, and they're making good money. They don't need to make great money.
And we're right on the I-5 corridor for you drug addicts. You don't have to go to the big city looking for your fix.
I didn't go down that avenue.
We've got it all
here. You went down that avenue, Nick. I didn't even see that coming. That was a blindside.
We're catching up with the big cities when it comes to homeless.
Oh, boy, are we ever. I was talking to a friend of mine that before Obama, and I've said this before, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but before Obama, you know, there was a couple homeless people in all of Ready, and we knew him. He was the big goofy guy with the big jacket, even in the summer, on Hilltop, you know, nice as could be. I had issues, but there was like three to four that I can remember for the first 10 years of my time here. And then Obama came in, and everything changed. And now we are at a situation where our homeless population is out of control. And what's sad is we're actually better than most of California. That's the crazy thing. We're actually better. You're smiling, Nick. What are you looking at?
Oh, Kevin Cry's in the house.
Oh, well, there you go. That brings a smile to your face every time.
Yeah, I like Kevin. I think he's doing a good job.
I think he has, too.
I'm happy that he's on the board.
I'm happy that we put together some strong effort on our part to help him get reelected.
Yes.
I mean,
or
you know,
failed recall.
Yeah, defeat the failed liberals, which is not that hard to do. All you got to do is have common sense.
You know, I forgot we've got more clips on that. Let's hear that second clip, Dave.
He's getting it. Hold on here, folks. We're not supposed to have dead air time, so I'll just keep talking because Nick. There we go.
But 1%, it would cost the average household in Reading $5
a month.
$5 a month.
Not a week.
So if you could pay $5 a month, then you could have 2 new fire stations, 20 police officers. You could have Big League Dreams re-renovated. You could have every road in Reading repaved and brought up to the standards of what feels comfortable to drive on. If you could spend $5 a month and fix everything, and we can continue to dream with extra money to spend, wouldn't we want to invest in our city and do something like that?
Well, I think you're probably going to get a shot to convince people of that.
You know, the problem with that is every time it's always brought in as this small, just a dollar here, just $5 there, and then 2 years from now they'll come back and ask for another dollar or $5 or $10. There's plenty of money there. I mean, we have the highest priced gasoline in the entire nation, and we pay the most in road tax, and we have the worst roads. It's not a question of money, it's a question of use. And for them, and I mean, you know, we need better roads in Reading. Obviously, when I'm selling houses, I go around and I drive through potholes, which is like being up in Shingletucky. But that's how they sell it. That's how the government sells slavery. It's only $5 a month. That's it, just $5. You can afford it.
Hey, I don't think there's a sales tax on groceries, housing, something else that's big. $5 a month? Come on, get serious. How much sales tax is on, say, a $10,000 car?
Well, I mean, I think it's 8.25 is what the state is, isn't it? So that'd be like almost $1,000.
I know if you buy a piece of equipment, there's sales tax on that. Look at these lawnmower people, the landscapers. You know, they buy a lot of equipment each year. So, and then he goes on to say that tourists are going to pay half of it. Was that on the clip?
I did not hear that part, no.
Okay, let's hear the second or the third clip there, Dave. Yeah, tourists are going to finance it for us. Then we're going to get into the jail.
Oh. Dave's looking at his computer.
Else but the city. Doesn't the sales tax go to the state, and we get a percentage back?
We do get a percentage back. Now, let's also think from this perspective. Half of the sales tax possibly comes from people traveling up and down the I-5 that stop through Reading. So we already have half of our sales tax revenue in the city of Reading driven by people that are just traveling through the area. This is not all money generated by us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be able to take advantage of the people that are stopping through. The tourists, the people stopping through and staying in a hotel overnight, you know, half of that money is going to come from people traveling in.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, does the money for sales tax, doesn't that go to the state and we get a percentage back?
Yeah, so the state collects the money, and I believe right now we collect 2% of that sales tax back right now.
So what we're looking at, the only way we would be able to keep the whole percent, if it was a special sales tax,
we would keep the whole 1%.
We would keep that whole 1%.
Correct.
If we Absolutely. Raised it, that would be ours and not have to go to the state.
Correct, because it's our decision of what we want to do.
So there you have it. I wanted to get that in there so people understood exactly how the sales tax comes back to us. So it's got to be a targeted 66.6%.
Yeah, 2/3 of the outstanding vote have to approve it.
Yes.
Is it now 66 or 60%?
Oh, I think it's 2/3. 66, oh, okay, yeah. Isn't that 2/3?
That's 2/3 in my mouth.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I went to Enterprise.
I know.
I threw in the 2/3.
Well, wow. Wow, we're in the presence of brilliance, guys. No, you know what's amazing, folks, is just how stupid government thinks how stupid we are. I mean, you know, half of us don't even pay a tax on income, but the other half is paying, let's say on an average, I think of 25 to 28% is pretty fair between state and federal. So from your dollar, you're already down to 70 cents. Then we've got the highest gasoline tax in the nation. Then we've got the transit for people coming through. Transit occupancy tax, which means every time somebody stays at an Airbnb or a hotel, that's taxed. There's tax on items at Home Depot, Lowe's, and whatever. I mean, the government here in Redding, California, with this and the local taxes, probably takes at a minimum probably 50%. So you work 6 months of the year just for taxes, and now they're going to try to sell us that, well, you can work 6 months and a week now.
And they take and compare it to Anderson, a community of less than 5,000 people who trust their city council, and they voted in a half-cent sales tax. The police did their job. It was all dedicated to that, and they're pleased as punch. Well, if we could trust our city council, which I don't believe we can, I would vote for this.
Well, and I don't, I wouldn't even compare Redding and Anderson, because one of the things that I know the police have an issue with is Anderson gets to claim they clean up their city. Okay, great. I grant it. They got their money. They got the cops. Good job. Every time they arrest anybody, they got to bring them to Redding. And then they drop them off in Redding. And when they get released in Redding.
You know where they got that idea? San Francisco sending their mentally ill homeless up here.
Oh, no, I know that. But that's my point. So when people go, oh, Anderson has really done a great job. Yes, I believe they've done a good job. I'm not here to knock on. But I'm just saying, if they had a jail in Anderson and they were releasing their locals back into Anderson, I think that Anderson might look a little bit different than what it does right now. Because they get to bring this to us.
Okay, halftime.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Invest in your future with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready or transfer eligible in programs like nursing, forestry, teaching, accounting, physical therapy assistant, computer information systems, and many others. Classes are free for full-time students with flexible hours and compressed 8-week options. Perfect for working adults. Ask about the many financial aid options available to help you turn your calling into a career. Spring semester begins January 13th. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season. Open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights. Don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has distinct treasures to choose from, including vinyl records, DVDs, antique jewelry, such as brooches and rings, necklaces and bracelets. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles also offers vintage clothing and accessories, such as retro dresses and scarves, jackets and hats, along with vintage furniture, tablecloths and silverware, cookware and glassware. And don't forget Mantiques, including military memorabilia, camping and mining equipment, men's jewelry such as crosses and rings, sports memorabilia, and collectibles. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. Open Monday 10 to 6, closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday noon to 5. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Mom said, sell it to the circus. What the heck? Dad said, nope, this one's a pencil neck. And if there's one thing lower than a sideshow freak, it's a gritty, scum-sucking pencil neck geek.
City of Redding, quit hiring pencil neck geeks. Hey, listen, you know, I'm technologically challenged. You don't have to jump on that.
I respect my elders.
Last week I got to fooling around, and I finally figured out how to get on Kevin Cry Live on Monday mornings on Facebook at 7 a.m. on Facebook. Tomorrow morning, Kevin Cry is going to talk about, I think, those statistics I just gave you on the wages that are being paid for public employees.
But they're cutting to the bone.
That's right.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we understand, us plebeians who pay our taxes, work 40, 50 hours a week, the city's cutting to the bone.
I wonder, I see a lot more potholes than I have in the past. I wonder if they're letting them slide to rub it in our nose and let us know how much they need this one set tax.
Well, you know, the thing that's even more sinister about the whole thing, Nick, is because inflation has caused prices to go up in the last 4 years of Liberal Joe's tenure. The prices go up, so every time the price goes up, the tax goes up, because it's 1% of a sales price of whatever it is. So they've even made more money in the last 4 years than they had in the previous 4 years, and yet they're asking for more. Let that sink in.
Well, I'll tell you what. Personally, I will let our infrastructure go to hell and just keep it up as best we can with what we have, if we can get a jail and lock up the criminals.
Wow. we won't be here, Nick. That's another lifetime.
Well, I don't know. You know, Kevin mentioned something on his show last week about maybe a 1 cent tax that doesn't sunset that went specifically to jail.
Well, again, there's that two-thirds threshold that starting back to Mr. Bassetti when he tried to do it for the police force. And getting that two-thirds has been the real issue.
Well, Paletti didn't have anything to do that.
No, Paletti. Bassetti. Bassetti. Rick Bassetti, when he tried to do it in the city, and he needed to get that threshold. And
well, that wasn't going to go to crime. Crime's the county's problem. The jail's the county's problem.
No, I know, but he was trying to do...
That's another thing. The city... 85% of the visitors to the jail... Visitors. Are from the city, but the city doesn't think that they should, you know, contribute to building a jail. That's the county's problem.
Hey, Nick, I don't think the jail should cost as much as it is.
No, I mean, it's like every bed is like $300,000, some stupid number for a bed. I mean, you can buy a house for what they want to want, one bed.
Prevailing wage.
$80 bolt in the military.
Yeah, exactly. Or the $4,000 coffee machine.
We have a lot of state laws that dictate how the jail has to be built.
No, I know.
Disappointingly.
Yeah. But you had a clip you wanted to start off with before I go into
something. Oh, no, I don't want to go to that yet.
Okay.
Why don't you go into what you want to do?
I have an idea. Somebody can get this to President Trump and whoever he picks as his AG. I think we have a way to maybe undo a lot of Biden's last 6 months. Any lawyer and any real estate agent who's worth their salt, which I'm not saying I am, but there's five things you must have for a valid contract. Must be writable or in writing, agreeable terms. Must have an executable clause, and it must have a consideration, whatever the consideration is. But the fifth one is competent parties. And I think that the AG could go back to all these executive orders, these pardons, and everything that he's done for the last 6 months, take it to the Supreme Court, because I don't know where else he would do it, and put Joe on the thing, no help, no nothing, and ask him if he knew what he was signing. I bet they could prove he was not competent when he signed all this stuff in the last 6 months. And in contract law in the United States, this is not California, contract law is the competent party thing. That's how people get, you know, the old folks get taken advantage of is, you know, niece comes in and gets grandma to give her the house and stuff. Well, then they'll go to court and prove that grandma was incompetent in this case. I think that is a legitimate way that a lot of this crap that's been forced down, and they're doing more. I mean, they've got another 14 days to put more incompetent stuff in. And I just want to warn everybody that this is not going to be peaches and cream this first 2 years under Trump. Don't even get this like euphoria. I'm glad that Camel didn't make it, but they have set so many potholes that are coming our direction. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So let that sink in. But they will try to blame Trump for all of it.
I recall when Joe Biden first sat down and started signing executive orders, they were putting them in front of him, and he's signing them. And on a live microphone, he says, "I don't even know what I'm signing," as he's signing them. Yeah. That was his first day of the presidency.
Well, I'm saying I'm being very dead serious here. I think that that if the AG and Trump have backbone, it's going to cause hell. Okay, get over it. But the hell that's being caused to the rest of us because of what he is doing, the landmines that he is setting, I think that they could possibly, of course, it would be take 5 years for them to prove it, and then they'd say, yeah, he was incompetent, and the 4-year term would be over. But I really do think that if they challenge him on his competency, there's now mainstream media talking about how incompetent it is. His staff, under oath, put them under oath, under threat of prison. They will come through and say, Joe didn't even know what time of day it was. He couldn't tell if he's eating a peanut butter sandwich or a ham sandwich. I think legally they could challenge a lot of his stuff that he assigned in the last 6 months for sure, because that's when it's really deteriorated. I really think that they could do it. And if there was any justice in the world, him being proven incompetent would be not hard to do, and it would, I think, waive a lot of the things that he's put us under.
Well, if they could waive it, that'd be great. I think that Roy Clark's song, "Thank God and Greyhound She's Gone," I think that's the attitude we ought to take and move on and correct the things that are wrong with our county as much as we can. But I wanted to get back to the jail. I was invited to a get together. It's SIR, Seniors in Retirement. It was down at the Elks. And there was probably about 60 people there, a bunch of old geezers about my age. And it was very nice. They do things. They do golf tournaments and bocce ball tournaments. They've got a wall of books. You just grab one and take it home. They fed me lunch. It was a really good lunch. But Chief Briner was there and did about a 20-minute presentation. And he took questions. And in his presentation, he made it clear he didn't want a jail in downtown Reading. We spent all this money rehabilitating downtown Reading, and we don't want a jail there. Well, I wonder if that's his thought or if it's the city council telling him what to say. Because I've got a idea that the police chief doesn't get to run the police department the way he wants to. He's got to run it the way the city manager and the city council tells him to run it. Otherwise, Paletti would have had this place cleaned up a long time ago. But that being said, he wants to move it out to the county's property out at Airport Road, which is the old dump. And that's a nuclear waste site out there. We used to just dump batteries and anything out there. Take TVs out there and shoot them with 22s. That's pollute. That probably make the top list of the 20 polluted most places in the United States. But that being said, I asked him, I said, okay, they had 102 service calls, the police department, last year.
102 only?
102,000.
Thousand.
I said, what percentage of that involved the homeless? And he sidestepped that question. But I ran into a police officer yesterday off duty, and I said, tell me, of all the 102 service calls last year, how many do you think involved the homeless? I said, 50%. He says, well, I think it's more than that. So if we could clean up the criminals and the homeless problem, look at how much money we'd save right there. Besides all the money that businesses are spending to secure their business. Well, besides homeowners, what they're doing to secure their homes.
I have a crazy idea. Crazy idea. This is going to go off. So if you're driving, don't drive off the road on this crazy idea. Costco is sitting empty. That is a, 50,000-60,000 square foot building.
It's already been bought.
I don't care. Turn it into a jail. It's right there. It's got parking. It would just take putting in walls inside. You could do two stories. It's tall enough to do at least two stories. You could have almost 100,000 square foot jail facility in an existing building that is secure because it's only got two or three exits out the back and front. And, I mean, it's there. That would be a great use for that building. So there you go. Crazy idea. Crazy idea.
Well, we need a one-story block building is what we need, like the post office.
Why do we need one-story block building?
Because then you don't have to worry about going upstairs and downstairs to the police personnel. You can add to it very easily, spread it out, take it out to Millville Plains or Iron Mountain Road or something like that.
Shingletucky.
Hell yes.
No, but I'm damn dead serious. I mean, two stories, that couldn't be that hard for the staff to walk up and down two stories. There's cameras now, close, you know.
You could put a moat with alligators down underneath a window with a diving board says escape route.
I tell you what, you know what I would do is, you see it because even you go to Tractor Supply, put everything on electric wires. You know, if it's good enough for a goat, it should be good enough for a criminal. My opinion.
Well, yes, but there's things we can't do. Because of Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown.
Well, I mean, you know, now that you brought that up, see, this is the great thing about our show, folks. We don't script, we don't plan, we don't practice. We show up and whatever we talk about. But Newsom's spending his time right now trying to Trump-proof California. Have you ever in your life, even if you're a liberal listening, have you ever heard of a governor trying to make it so bad, it was so much worse, that they're going to make it that the incoming president can't do something that's going to benefit that state?
He's got a couple of consultants from Redding, California helping him with that. They're failed recall proponents.
Oh, well, that's probably what. Well, hopefully they have the same success rate. But you had a clip you wanted to play. Or no?
Well, we'll get to it.
Okay.
You know.
Again, folks, this is live radio. We just wing
it. I haven't talked to Doug in 2 weeks. We don't socialize or anything together. We just show up and BS.
Well, we want to keep it raw. You know, it's that chemistry that we have.
You know, I got to thinking about these nonprofits. Aren't nonprofits predominantly, mostly made up of liberals, and it's a big scheme how to reapportion money?
Well, yeah.
They're getting grants, they're giving it this feel-good thing, and they're getting a big wage. I got to think, what a scam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's as big as the Reading Searchlight, Record Searchlight scam, Best Business in Reading.
Yeah.
They get all these people to advertise for it, and then they get them to pay to thank them for the award.
Well, you know.
And it's like, you know, there's nothing truth about it.
Well, it's like, you know, I think it's Salvation Army and Goodwill. They came out a couple years back, probably 5 years ago, and talked about the fact that from $1 donated, like 4 cents goes to actually helping people, 90-something went to management.
Sure.
Yeah, and they were well-paid management. I mean, I think the top of Salvation Army is making over $1 million a year to be a good Samaritan.
Well, you look at that gal at Children's Legacy Center. 4 years ago, she was making $19,000. Now she's making right at $200,000.
Well, you know, when you get $7 million handed to you by Stephanie Bridget, you can raise your salaries pretty quickly. Isn't that the same one? The Legacy Center? Yeah. That's the one that got $7 million from the Zogmeyer, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
See, my gray matter is working today. Thank you.
Actually, I think that the Legacy Center probably does pretty good work. But
a lot of them probably do good work, but I mean, a lot of the money goes straight to management and doesn't necessarily.
As with a lot of nonprofits. Look at the McConnell Foundation. Do you suppose those guys get plenty of money?
Well,
I think the president gets about $400,000 or $500,000 a year.
Well, isn't that where Mike Warren, isn't that where he went to retire and was getting a monthly salary of $7,500 a month in retirement?
I don't know about that, but
I thought he went to McConnell Foundation and went on their board or became their.
Well, when he retired from the city of Reading, he went down to Turtle Bay.
Oh, maybe it's Turtle
That's
Bay.
That's where he feathered his nest while he was in the city of Reading
and
sold out a bunch of it to the McConnell Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, continue on.
And I know while he was building his mansion out there at Terra Oaks, he stayed on a McConnell Foundation's property in a big house they built for guests and stuff.
Well, because you're a nonprofit.
Well, Mike Warren's a nonprofit. We went broke with him in there.
Well, you know, that goes into the international realm of called NGOs, non-governmental organizations. And the same thing.
Here's grants. Go spread it around.
Yeah, here's a $10 million grant. Go help the people of Africa. And then you find out that, you know, 3 years later, there was one bus with water put in it, and then that's all they got.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of corruption out there. But so, what do you got?
H-1B visas.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I support it.
Do you know what an H-1A visa is for?
I do not.
The H-1A visa is for labor. It was originally created to bring nurses over here because we had a nursing shortage. And now it's morphed into people that keep up Trump's lawn.
Yeah.
Or other places around here.
Jobs that Americans won't do, they say.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
You know, if you weren't giving them housing for free and food for free and transportation for free.
And schooling for free and health care for free.
Maybe they would do them.
Yeah.
But the H-1B, I support that, too, if it's staying within the rules.
Exactly.
It was created for 85,000 people a year.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
The cream of the crop. Elon Musk fired, I think it was 13,000 people, maybe it was 15, fired him and replaced him with 2,000 people from India.
I believe that.
What's that tell you?
Well, I mean, it tells me, first off, the man was looking at efficiency, number one. I mean, yeah, what was it? He took over X.
They've done
everything that they can to kill X, but he got rid of like 85% of the management, and it's gotten better.
That tells me that 15,000 people weren't up to the task.
Well,
they weren't doing. When you can take and replace them 7-8 to 1 with one person, those 7 or 8 aren't doing a very good job.
No.
They're not qualified. What was it Vivek said? The American people are lazy and dumb.
Well, I think there's some truth to that. We've gotten, I mean, you know, we've gotten to the point where, you know, when I sell houses, and you're working with the family, they, you know, they've got to have a bedroom for each kid. Crap, we were growing up, we had 3 kids in one room. And now we've got to have a room for each kid, and then they got to have an office, they got to have this. I mean, there's no struggle for a lot of kids, but I gotta say this though. I'm not sure I'd want to grow up as a kid in today's environment and world with as crazy it is, though. I think we had it easier, Nick. It was pretty black and white. You got your toes stepped on if you did something wrong, and you got a pat on the back if you did something right. But the HB1, I look at it this way. Think of sports. Forget all this crap about tech and, oh, we're losing America. Think about sports. Look at the top players in different sports, be it basketball, be it golfing, be it baseball, for sure. Baseball.
They come from hungry countries.
Well, they come from, this is their ticket to freedom. And they are better than Americans in the same thing. Now, when I say better, it's not necessarily that they're just better talent. You know, some of the best baseball players in the last couple of years have come out of Cuba, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. So don't just go this is Vivek trying to get rid of Americans. America is about having the best and the brightest. And if we can bring someone in from another country and it makes our country better, I don't see that as a negative.
Absolutely. And the H-1B visa has been exploited by big tech, Facebook, Cisco, any of those. They've got a lot more over the 85,000, and I believe it is to cut costs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm one of my side gigs, folks, is I'm a driving coach at racetracks. I've got probably 50,000 miles on Laguna Seca, Sonoma, and Thunder Hill for sure. And so I've been in a lot of cars with a lot of people. And we actually, the group I work with, we do a lot of private gigs back in the day. And we had a lot of tech guys. And I mean, I would get in cars, these Porsches, super nice Porsche, $150,000, $180,000 Porsches with these young kids who are 22 years old. Their starting salary was $175,000. So I mean, you know, yeah, if you were in tech back in the day, you were making a lot of money. And so a kid coming from India that might be looking at $5 a day all of a sudden is making $175 a year to be the best. I can see that as a reason why.
Maybe City of Reading ought to go down and recruit some of those.
Well, the problem is I think they've been infected by the liberal hive mind because they've been in the Bay Area. And but, you know, the HB1, as you started out, I support it just because I think that America, that's what sets us apart, is we want the best of the best, and your origins, your sexual orientation, the color of your skin doesn't matter. Just get us the best of the best. That makes everybody better. That's my opinion.
There I don't go. Know about sexual orientation. There's
I
a
don't
guy
care.
And a gal, and that's it.
I don't care. If they're happy at home, I really don't care.
Keep it at home.
That's exactly right. There you go, Nick. We're on the same page. I don't care. Just keep it at home. Don't
San Francisco has speed cameras now.
Oh, that's great to go.
Actually, there's 8 places in California. Well, San Francisco's putting them in. The others are contemplating it. It'll be here in Reading.
Oh, I'm sure. I got to watch out when I do that. I wonder if the speed cameras in San Francisco are going to take the speed of how fast a needle gets injected for meth. Can you time that?
Do a drug test at the same time? He's walking a little fast there. Let's check him out.
That guy crossed the road at 22 miles an hour. Unsafe speed for a meth addict.
Hey, let's listen to that Cash Patel clip now. Cash is going to take over the FBI, and I thought this clip was quite interesting. So let's go ahead and play that.
4-7 Declassification Office, whatever you want to call it. Transparency, truth, whatever, I don't care. Sits in the White House, reports directly to you, and you take incoming from the United States of America. I want JFK. I want the 9/11 files. I want this. I want that. All the FBI, and this is a tool, this is something we didn't cover. What the deep state uses the most to cover up their corruption is an illegal application of the classification system. Remember the Lovebirds text from, this is a beauty, the Lovebirds text from FBI, DOJ land, Russiagate, Strzok and Page were texting each other. They were running the Russiagate investigation against Trump. They were the head of the counterintelligence unit at the FBI. And they're having an extramarital affair together. Can't make this stuff up. They're sending each other texts about how much they hate Trump and are going to create an insurance policy to stop Trump. Then we finally find those text messages. You know what the FBI and DOJ do for like a year? Redact them. To congressional investigators and congressional men and women running the oversight of their agency. That's just one example. But it gets even better. Here's the deep state full circle. Just last week, do you know what Strzok and Page received from the Department of Justice?
What?
A $1.5 million payout to settle a lawsuit that Strzok and Page brought for the improper disclosure of their personal text messages on FBI phones. And the DOJ just rewarded them. They broke the law. They broke the chain of command. They broke every regulation there is in the FBI. They weaponized the system of justice against a political target they hated. We found those text messages, and we got them declassified finally in full when I became Deputy Director of National Intelligence. And the world has now seen them, and they can read them. And that's the best form of transparency. That's why I want this 24/7 declassification office. Don't have me regurgitate it to you. Read it. Get the documents. Get the files. Get the memos. But the deep state came full circle and gave these guys a payday for rigging a presidential election and breaking the law. So now you know what happens.
Everybody contact your representative in Washington, D.C. and make sure that they get a nominated for a Freedom Medal from Joe Biden.
Yes, Absolutely. I why they weren't there, I don't know. And you know what's really sad here, Nick, is there was something that came across me, and it came from, I think, a pretty trusted source. But with today's world of AI and everything can be generated, one of the winners, since you brought that up, was there's a picture that I had in one of the feeds and things I read of the too many, was a picture of one of the guys who got the Freedom Medal from Biden standing next to the guy who was caught at Mar-a-Lago earlier this year, or early last year, with the assassination attempt of Trump. Now, isn't that interesting?
I think Lisa Page should get it just for extracurricular activities. It came out she had two other extramarital affairs going at the same time.
Well, she is FBI, you know, counterintelligence. You got to go to the source. You know, but Nick, that just shows you how corrupt liberals are, and I hope Trump this time. You know, the problem is, folks, they treat us that we're stupid. You know what? We elected those idiots. So if we're stupid, that means we elected stupid people. But the fact of the matter is they should just not have redacted crap. I mean, if it's like current right now and we're in the middle of some counterterrorism op in, I don't know, Iran, yeah, keep that out off the records. I get that. But JFK, really? It's 50-something years later. We don't deserve to know what our government did. I mean, now you've got, you know, you've got enough insinuation proof that we did it. It was an inside job. Let us know. Let us see how corrupt our government was back then under J. Edgar Hoover and that gang of criminals. Stop redacting all this crap. Just let us know. We're adults. We can deal with it, but it also gives us the ability to have a more honest government, which I'm fine with. Even if I don't agree with maybe the direction it's going, if I know what they're doing. Okay, at least there, but stop redacting all this crap.
I'm with you. There's a lot of things that need to change. I think a presidential nominee should write their own speeches, and they shouldn't have teleprompters.
Well, the problem is, I will say on the teleprompter, on maybe major events, I agree with you, but these folks do so many stinking speeches to so many different places. I'm not sure I, as a long-winded old guy,
well, when they're reading it off the teleprompter, they're reading two or three other people's.
Oh no, I know, I get
created,
that.
And that's not the person you're voting for.
No, well, I will say this, and it's because I hate the man with the passion. I think he was just a scum of society, but. I, as a director of the Board of Realtors here locally, got to go to five state conventions in Sacramento. And that was back under Commie Brown's term. I will give the man his due. He never once showed up with a piece of paper. He never showed up with a teleprompter. He sat there and was off the cuff. And, it had humor. I got to give him credit. He had some funny lines. But that man could go off script, no teleprompter, and he did it well.
We should check Ancestry.com. Maybe he and Trump are related back about five or six generations ago, because Trump's the only politician I've ever seen that can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, what's funny is when Trump's off the cuff is when he's his funniest, and yeah, he says things every now and then that you just think that's just crazy stupid.
So do I.
But, yeah, well, so do I. And we do it on the radio, so there's no tricking it back. But when he's teleprompting, you can see him do the Obama tennis point, point. Point, point. When he's off script, just going, he's way funnier, and it's believable. When he goes teleprompter, you can see him looking left and right, and he does that big breath, and then reads again, and I'm like, just let him go. Let the man talk.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I doubt he uses his teleprompter 50% of the time.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably a fair bet.
Yeah.
He's off script most of the time. I think that's why his handlers have, you know, they wear rubber around their bodies, because they're not sure what he's going to say when he's got the microphone.
Like Joe Biden.
Well, Joe Biden, they know that he doesn't know what he's saying, so they're really, but then they've got that Korean John Pierre crazy bat crap lady. She's going to lie about it the next day at the press conference. It doesn't matter what he says. She's just going to say we took it out of context what he said.
We're going to finish up on Anchor Babies, but don't forget to go to Facebook Live tomorrow and listen to Kevin Cry at 7 a.m. There's 400,000 Anchor Babies born in the United States every year.
Yep.
You've got two illegal immigrants coming into the United States having a baby that's a citizen. In my way of thinking, you have two illegal immigrants come into the United States and have a baby, you've got three illegal immigrants.
Well, that happens nowhere else in the world, for the record.
The reason they had the anchor babies was for the slaves when they were freed, that their babies would be American citizens. That should have gone out when the last slave died.
Well, and also, I mean, I do believe it also goes with the fact that when legal immigration and they were coming through Ellis Island, I think that was also one of those things is they wanted to come over. They wanted to become American and they wanted to make sure their kids were Americans. But yeah, I think that needs to be done and anchor baby status needs to be taken away immediately.
China had anchor baby vacations.
Yeah.
You know, and we had people over here lining them up, setting them up in bed and breakfast, or renting a whole motel for women that are a week away from delivering, and come on over, and you've got your anchor baby, and pretty quick they bring the whole clan over here.
Yeah, I would say if you're not here 100% legally as a citizen, you don't get to get that right. It's just because that's exactly it. Now they've got these American citizens, and then you can't kick mom and dad out because the baby's an American.
Hey, we're getting some neat businesses around Reading. I went by business yesterday, Valley Golf Simulators. Pretty neat place. Check it out if you get a chance. I'll talk about it next week.
Happy New Year, folks. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Well, till something happened. Blew everything to hell. That night my daddy stumbled
in. The news
in.
From Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.